feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, later on, we're going to talk about the bust of a juvenile who essentially tried to kill a grandmother who was going to church in Queens, but he only gets charged with assault. Why is that? Plus, this is just unbelievable. The city of Denver has announced plans to defund the police in order to pay for the migrants that are overwhelming their city. They're going to be stripping public programs and services, which essentially is police and fire department, so they can strip them of about $8.4 million so they can allocate that money to assist incoming undocumented migrants, or newcomers, as President Biden describes them. I mean, this is unbelievable. You're going to cut back police and safety services. And of course, that includes fire. I mean, talk about necessary services. And you're going to do it to accommodate migrants who are here in the country illegally? This is the definition of insanity. And it gets even crazier because in the Windy City of Chicago, guess what? They are now receiving, the city and the state of Illinois are going to be receiving about $19 million from the feds to help with the migrant crisis. They're going to be splitting it essentially for funding to assist them with dealing with migrant issues. Now, this comes as Chicago is seeing skyrocketing crime. Many of the stores are closing there. They're abandoning so many of the stores, especially on the south side of Chicago. And yet somehow they have found all this money to be able to give to the migrants. And it looks like none of it is going to be going to restoring the city or beefing up the police department anytime soon. Shame on Chicago. Shame on Denver. This, to me, is downright dangerous. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the hour here on The Rita Cosby Show. Meantime, tonight, President Trump, just a little bit ago, he was in Mar-a-Lago. He knows his first criminal trial is going to take place on Monday. It's the hush money case, which is just unbelievable. I mean, of all of these things, that you would go after a former president of the United States. He is, of course, the leading candidate. He's beating Biden in most of the polls for president of the United States. They're in the throes of the election season. And you're going to have the candidate in court every single day because that's what they have to do when it's a criminal trial. And boy, is that just election interference or what? This to me is pure politics and obvious that this is all about getting Trump. And so President Trump today, he's in Mar-a-Lago and he is with Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And he's asked, what are your plans for the trial? And take a listen to this exchange. He said he is willing to go on the stand. Listen to this.
You plan to testify in your trial in New York?
Yeah, I would testify. Absolutely. It's a scam. It's a scam. That's not a trial. That's not a trial. That's a scam. If you read Jonathan Turley, if you read Andy McCarthy, if you read the legal, they said there's not even a case there. That's election interference by the Biden administration. They actually took their top guy, one of their top guys, put him into the DA's office to run it. And it's a shame. What they have done is incredible. It's election interference and it's got to stop. It's a third world country. This country's never done it. But you read Jonathan Turley, you read Andrew McCarthy, you read the legal scholars, every single one of them said that whole thing is a scam. It's not even a crime. And what they're doing is a crime. They are criminals.
They are criminals. He's coming out swinging. And you heard what he said. He said, I will testify. I'm not worried. I will testify in this case. He's got to be there every day. He'll be testifying, I guess, essentially, because he'll be doing press conferences, you know, in and out. So we'll hear a lot, I'm sure, of President Trump. And here is what he was asked. What will you say at the trial? And here's his answer.
I'm testifying. I tell the truth. I mean, all I can do is tell the truth. And the truth is that there's no case. They have no case. And again, you have to read the scholars, read all of the legal scholars. I haven't seen one legal scholar that said this is a case. And in fact, even you people said, oh, gee, that's too bad. This is the first one. All of them are scams. They're all about election interference. We have a president that doesn't know where he is. He can't speak. The whole world is collapsing. The world is on fire. They have no respect for our country anymore. And the only way he thinks he can win is by doing this, you know, trials of Trump.
The trials of Trump. That would be a good book title. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to George. George, your thoughts about what's going to happen on Monday.
Rita, thank you very much. He might be maybe convicted, but nothing will happen thereafter because they know the popularity of President Trump. That's one. But most important of all is what's happening now vis-a-vis the Middle East, because I guarantee you that Iran will never attack, or no nation on the planet will directly attack Israel, directly, no nation. As long as the United States is supporting and or protecting Israel, whom some consider as the 51st state of the United States in many respects.
George, will you tell the president of the United States that? Because he seems to go Israel who half the time.
No, I understand. Sleepy Joe is one reason why, although it's a minuscule, you know, comment made, it's done jokingly on the part of Trump, but Biden is so hypersensitive that he even opened the borders due to the repetition of the term Sleepy Joe.
Yeah, but now, this is a they're certainly not sleeping at the border. That's for sure. They're coming in. They got the message. They woke up to that, Sleepy Joe, and they're like, great, time to rush in. And it's like a football stadium every day, George. But George, obviously a lot to take in there. Thanks so much, George. Let's go to Robert. Line 3. Robert, your thoughts.
Yeah, about Trump. I love Trump. I'm a supporter. But if he gets convicted, is he going to go to jail right away? I mean, how is he going to get through this?
By the way, Robert, I'm not sure he's going to get through it without them trying to throw him in jail before then, because they'll maybe say, oh, he's violating the gag order. We've scolded you 5 times, Mr. President. And it seems like he's almost baiting them because he keeps saying comments, understandably, because he's defending himself. It's a one-way gag order. So they might even try to throw him in beforehand. This Judge Marchand hasn't recused himself. He should. His daughter is making money off promoting Democrats like Joe Biden and Obama and others. That is definitely, at minimum, an appearance of conflict of interest, if not a real conflict of interest. Both of those are standards enough to recuse him. He won't do it. He's issuing these one-way gag orders. I wouldn't be surprised if, who knows what he's going to do. I mean, it is such a wild time, Robert. Who knows? We might have a candidate campaigning from a jail cell. You know, I mean, these people just seem they are so intent to try to get Trump. And who knows what they'll do? Or, you know, they go through the motion, they sentence him, and then they give him a probation or do something like that. Who knows? You know, who knows what happens? Trials, there could be even maybe some delay between now and then. I doubt it. Because it looks like he would have to like change his legal team. That might be the only way to do it for him, the whole case to get thrown out, which I don't see, not thrown out, but just delayed. I don't see that happening at this point. I just see that it's probably full steam ahead on Monday. But I mean, there are so many wild twists and turns, Robert. Who knows? I mean, do you actually think, like I do, that they might try to throw him in jail, whether it's even for even a gag order? They might. They're crazy enough.
He's a bully, the guy. I mean, if he gets probation, then he's okay. But if he throws in jail, I mean, the news says, oh, it's going to bring his polls up. It hurts him. It hurts the guy. The more if they put him in jail and he spends jail time, people will say, maybe they'll say, you know, I love Trump, but there's drama. That's what they're doing. That's why they're doing it. But I don't know how he's going to get away with it. Some way he has to. And if his lawyers are not, you know, they don't have a good game, or if he doesn't get something doesn't happen, I don't know what's going to happen to him. This is the first time when now he's in real trouble. where he delayed the cases. But if he gets probation, he's going to be fine. But getting in jail, that's not going to make his polls go up.
By the way, even if he gets probation, they're still going to say, oh, look, he was convicted. You know, I mean, you can see the convicted former President Trump. That's what they're going to say in every phrase. The convicted, the felon President Trump. You know, even if he gets just probation. And at the end of the day, on the other, you know, it's interesting, Robert. I mean, you're right that it doesn't help that he's tied up. It doesn't help that he's in, you know, a courtroom every day, which you have to be when it's a criminal case. But every time it seems like they throw something at him, it does help him in the sense that I don't think he wants it, but I think it helps him in the sense that people go, wait, this is so over the top. And the fact that this is the first time in American history that you're going to have a former president there in a trial, a criminal trial, to me, is just so preposterous that it's over this issue. You know, it really is stunning. And I think people sit back and go, wait a minute. You know, this is why we're going to have a precedent setting of all the things going on in the world. A business issue, an issue that, by the way, this case was passed over and over and over and over many times. And in fact, listen to the history. I want to play. This is Cut 18. And this is former assistant district attorney Phil Holloway. Phil is a really sharp guy. He is from the Georgia area. And he kind of describes sort of the background of this case. And he describes Alvin Bragg, who's at the helm of it all, the New York DA.
This case really started out as a minor bookkeeping misdemeanor that the statute of limitations should have run on years ago. But it's Alvin Bragg who is the one that, in my opinion, is being dishonest, because he's taking this misdemeanor and he's bootstrapping, you know, federal election law and trying to call this some type of serious felony fraud, which really is just a bookkeeping issue. And by the way, speaking of fraud, it's another example of a New York prosecution going after Trump where there's no victims. Nobody was harmed by any of this. And by the way, can we stop referring to it as a hush money trial? That implies that there's something sinister, there's something illegal about non-disclosure agreements. They are standard. Wealthy people, prominent people use them all the time. Even Fannie Willis here in the Fulton DA's office has non-disclosure agreements with people in her office, I'm told. So I wish we would not refer to it as a hush money trial, because that implies that there's something sinister. The bottom line is nobody was hurt.
By the way, it just came out that OJ in his final days, or his representatives, had his kids and his friends, anybody who visited him, and apparently it was a whole bunch of people at the end of his life, because he knew, sadly, it was the end of his life. But he had people sign NDAs, even his kids, because he didn't want anybody to leak that he was, you know, in the shape that he was in. Isn't that interesting? So a lot of people have non-disclosure agreements. OJ even had it with his kids. Your thoughts, Robert, about all this? I mean, it really is over the top. You know, when you look at what's happening and you listen to Phil Holloway saying this is normally, you know, a misdemeanor, not even a misdemeanor. It's not even anything they would ever consider going after somebody for. But yet, because the last name's Trump.
Yeah, well, I think he'll overcome it. He's a very strong guy. But as far as OJ, I remember that he was guilty. It was supposed to be tried in Brentwood. They moved it to Los Angeles. And I don't think it was a dream team. They just played the race card.
Remember the whole, Mark Furman, remember?
And Ito, he had no backbone.
Oh, Ito was horrible. By the way, Robert, too, I also thought the prosecution was lousy in that case. I did think that they were, you know, outsmarted by the defense team. There was no doubt. I mean, when you have, you know, and listen, they were smart attorneys. When you look at Cochran and Dershowitz, F. Lee Bailey, Barry Scheck, there were a whole bunch of, you know, really smart people. And then you had Marsha Clark on the other side and Chris Darden, I think it was. And that, you know, they just were, you know, outmaneuvered, I think, at every single turn. I thought that was an interesting decision. I agree with you. The old OJ decision was a wild one. Right, did you think it was going to go that way, Robert, real quick?
I knew it was going to go that way when they moved it to Los Angeles and they inflamed the jury. Vincent Briozzi, the one who did the Manson murder, the lawyer, he wrote a book called Outrage, and he spells out everything perfect.
Yeah, well, I always say, an innocent man, why was he going down the, you know, the highway in that white Bronco, you know? And if he was really looking for the real killer, why was he on the golf course? You know, I mean, those things just, they, you can't reconcile that with somebody who says, I didn't do it. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls after the break.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Well, Trump may beat the rap, but I'm not sure because the jury's in New York. By the way, we were talking about OJ. You gotta hear this one. This is from the LA Times. This came out today. This is the OJ Simpson obituary, okay? Because we know he passed away recently. So here it is. Long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside of Reno. A free man for the first time in 9 years. That's what the LA Times wrote. The problem is, it wasn't Trump. It was OJ. And it was in the OJ obituary. So if that doesn't show where the left-leaning publication is thinking, is this wishful thinking that they're like, they just think Trump in jail, Trump jail, Trump jail. And they didn't even realize they actually published that. Can you believe that? And now they are getting blasted. And the LA Times says the error has been corrected. And needless to say, everybody was coming out going, unbelievable. The LA Times is out of control. You can't make up a statement like that. I guess they have Trumpitis. And maybe they're just thinking, God, I thought Trump had walked out of prison in 2017. You know, maybe that's one of their like fantasies there. Wow. Talk about, fairness in journalism. What happened to that, guys? Wow, wow, wow. We'll continue with your calls, everybody, after the break. Also, there has been a break in the case of the monster who shoved that 68-year-old grandmother down the stairs in New York. But the crazy thing is they found the guy and he hasn't been charged with attempted murder.
Rita Cosby is on.
Well, it sounds like a homeless migrant was dancing, and he was doing it after he stole, get this. I mean, this is one of the craziest stories. He stole a FDNY boat. He gets freed without bail, and guess what does he do? He steals another boat. So he took an FDNY, Fire Department of New York, fireboat, and went for a leisurely ride. Then he gets released without bail, only to immediately climb on board an even bigger ship and do it again. You can't make it up. So he gets out by this judge, Judge Marva Brown, on Friday morning. The guy is Juan Hernandez, 22, of Ecuador. And then he takes another boat on a wild joyride soon after that. So I really love the fact that they learned their lesson, that really letting people out allows them to just do it all over again, all over again, and all over again. Meantime, another really sad story. This one's coming out of Memphis, and it's just heartbreaking. There's a very sort of soft-on-crime DA there, I've been told. Stephen Mulroy, I think, is his name. And he's in charge of Memphis. He ended cash bail, talked about, you know, how he doesn't agree with cash bail, all this other stuff, right? And now, sadly, there is an officer that was shot and killed today in Memphis by a suspect who had been let out on zero bail after stealing cars and also after found in possession of an illegal firearm. So here was a guy who had all this stuff. He gets let out, and then this 18-year-old guy gets in a shootout with police, and we're seeing reports that he killed a Memphis police officer. He wounded three others, and again, he had just been arrested over a month ago but was released from jail. What a sad, horrible, horrible story. And another story of these sort of soft-on-crime DAs. Also, we are getting word, thank goodness, that the guy who pushed the grandmother down the stairs in Queens, New York. Remember this case? We saw the 68-year-old woman. It's 8:20 in the morning on a Sunday morning. She's just going to church. It's a crowded parking lot. It's daytime again because, again, it's 8:20 in the morning. And what happens is suddenly this guy comes out of nowhere. You see him on the videotape, and he just shoves her. And she goes airborne, goes, gets knocked out. She flies airborne over these stairs and is like laying, you know, out cold. And then what does he do? He robs her, takes her car. The great news is apparently after he left the car, they were able to lift a fingerprint. Thank goodness. And that's how they were able to get this guy. But it turns out he's 16 years old, juvenile. And what a surprise. He has priors, we're understanding as well. What a surprise. Because guess what? If you are going to go to the point where you are going to push somebody down a flight of stairs, a 68-year-old grandmother who's minding her own business, 8:20 on a Sunday morning. Guess what? I'm sure you've done it many times before. You don't suddenly just have this epiphany that you're going to push somebody down the stairs. Clearly, this was somebody who had a criminal record, and there's probably a lot more in his background than we know, because I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of history here. But already, he has a rap sheet, and he's 16. He's a minor, but if you look at the charges against him, you kind of go, huh, because he's got assault. He's got a couple other different charges. And I don't understand why they don't charge this guy with attempted murder. She could have easily died. And he sent her to critical condition at ICU. And she remains in the hospital as we speak. Why isn't he not charged with attempted murder? Throw the book at this guy. There are clear warning signs, and he's clearly a menace to society. Here's a little bit. Here's a Fox 5 news report where they're commenting on the arrest of the 16-year-old. Here's a little bit of background on the story. Remember?
The 16-year-old arrested for allegedly shoving a woman down the stairs at a church in Queens is expected to face a judge.
All right, Fox 5's Antoine Lewis live at the courthouse in Kew Gardens with the latest on the case. Antoine.
Steve, outrage over this attack has reached the very top of the NYPD. Assistant Deputy Operations Commissioner tweeting on social media last night, this violent criminal is where he belongs, in handcuffs. But there now are concerns as to how long that will be the case. Thursday night, just after 9, the NYPD arrested the 16-year-old suspect of this despicable assault and threw him in jail. And not soon enough, says Queens City Councilman Jim Gennaro, as the attack happened in his district.
I think it's great work on the part of the police department. the whole community was in shock, and they want to see justice done.
Last Sunday morning, 68-year-old Irene Taliamboris was on her way inside St. Demetrios Greek Orthodox Church when the suspect comes up from behind and cowardly attacks her, punching her in the face, causing her to fall backwards down the steps. And as Taliamboris is lying on the sidewalk, surveillance video shows him stealing her purse, which contained her wallet, credit cards, cell phone, and $300 cash. Police say that he also stole her car. Irene Taliamboris' mother and grandmother was rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, including a fractured skull.
She continues to improve, Irene, and she has two adult kids that help her out, and she has a favorable prognosis, but still, it's going to be a long road.
District Attorney Melinda Katz's office says the suspect is from Jamaica, Queens, and is also responsible for a similar incident on April 4th, in which a woman was followed from an ATM, robbed, and her car also stolen. This attack has been resoundingly condemned, and for many, the suspect's arrest is causing dual emotions. Relief that he's behind bars, yet anxiety as to whether bail reform laws may not keep him there. A problem Gennaro says Albany could fix by establishing a dangerousness standard, which would allow judges to hold people in jail whom they think would commit crimes if they are released.
I would like to see the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, and the State Assembly Speaker watch this video and then explain to us how we don't need a dangerousness standard.
That 16-year-old's been charged with assault, grand larceny, robbery, possession of stolen property, and menacing. Again, he will be arraigned on those charges sometime later this evening. This is the very latest from Queens.
That's the very latest from Queens. And again, you heard the charges there. The charges include robbery, grand larceny, assault. Why not attempted murder? And also, boy, isn't that interesting? He did something there on April 4th, robbed, stole a car, mirrors a whole bunch of other stuff, has priors in his background. And because he's a minor, eventually those cases will be sealed too. I mean, that's the other thing. He's a minor. So eventually it's going to be like, oh, okay. Let's just kind of move on and let's treat him as a troubled young kid. And sadly, he's adult enough to go over and push somebody down the stairs. I'm sorry, you guys. You know me. I'm hardcore. Throw the book at him. It absolutely should be attempted murder. What? Because she didn't die? It takes that? You know, it goes back to like the stories that we've done where we've seen story people on the subway, you know, where they're like, oh, well, the guy was defending himself, which was a question mark. Remember when he got the gun away from the other guy and he shot the guy? And some of you called up and said, no, it was excessive force that he did to shoot the guy when the guy was lunging at him. I mean, are you kidding me? If someone is about to kill you, I believe you can do whatever you need to do to defend yourself and your family. And in this case, just because she survived, that the charges are just, what, a simple assault, essentially, you know, and robbery and a couple other things. I'm sorry. This is clearly already at the age of 16, a hardened criminal, and he needs to be taught a lesson. He's adult enough to try to almost kill a woman, a wonderful 68-year-old grandmother who apparently would give the shirt off her back to help anybody in the church and in her community. This woman named Irene sounds like a lovely, lovely woman. And this is what she gets. And the guy's just going to what, you know, get a little bit, especially in New York's justice system. He'll be out riding the boat with the illegal migrant, with the FDNY boat in a few days. And that is a really sad testament. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Danny in Connecticut. Danny, your thoughts.
Rita, I just want to let you know I love danishes in my coffee. And on crime, I'll give you a few rundowns.
Thank you very much. My mother would be so honored because, you know, my mother's from Denmark. Thank you.
Yes. And I still love those danishes. Right, a rundown on the crime. The butcher of Brentwood, when he got acquitted.
You mean OJ.
Yeah, the butcher of Brentwood, I call him. I don't call him that name. He was getting letters from women who wanted to go out with him and meet him. When he went to prison in Vegas and then Nevada, He was getting hundreds, thousands of letters from women who wanted to meet him, do anything for him. So we know we live in a psycho country. And before I get to the main topic here, Monday morning.
I got to tell you a funny story, Danny, first, because years ago I was a correspondent in Bakersfield, California. I'll never forget. I did this story. I was a host and correspondent there in television. And I did a series. I did an interview with a lot of these women who fell in love with people when they were behind bars. And with a straight face, I'm like, what does he offer you? You know, he's behind bars. In many cases, they met him once he was behind bars, just like you said. Like some of them, it wasn't like they knew him before he got busted. They like would meet him there. Oh, I can change him. You know, I can help him. He seems like he's misunderstood. You know, he seems like such a nice man. He's misunderstood. I mean, that is the craziest thing I have ever heard, ever, ever, ever. And I remember thinking, some of these people, I mean, were a little loony kazoony. There's no doubt about it. And then there were other people that were like fairly successful women. And I'm thinking like, life must have been tough. You know, you could have someone who's not behind bars, you know, on death row. You know, there's other people out there in this world. You deserve better, honey. You know, but you're right. It is this bizarre phenomenon. And you're right. He did get a whole bunch of letters when he was behind bars. Same with Joran Vandersloot. That was the guy, remember, tied to Natalie Holloway, who I think ultimately, I believe, in one of the latest reports, admitted to it finally. But he's there in like a Peruvian jail, remember? And in the Peruvian jail, he's able to have conjugal visits. So all these like women are visiting him. You know, and he's having all these kids while he's in prison. I mean, how crazy kooky is that? You know, it's like if you think U.S. prisons are nuts, can you imagine in Peru? That's what's happening. And he's there for murdering a woman who brought up that about the Natalie Holloway case with him. And apparently he went crazy and killed that woman. And now he's on trial there. So they know who he is. And yet they're still visiting him. Anyway, Danny, it's shocking to me. It's a whole other world, believe me. And ladies, you could do better. Trust me, you can do better, ladies and men. Anyway, go ahead, Danny.
Sure, those women are just psychos. All right, Monday morning, Trump's lawyers are going to motion for dismissal. They're not going to get it. Then they're going to have a motion to move the trial. We'll get a fair trial.
They tried that. It didn't work. They already tried that. Marchand said, the judge said, forget it.
Right, but they're going to do it again because the problem is he knows he can't get a fair trial, but they also know Trump cannot get the best lawyers, criminal lawyers in the country. I'm familiar with the law in this country and on the criminal side, and he cannot get the top criminal lawyers to come on his side. They don't want to get, you know, they don't want to get, let's put it, the scarlet letter put on them, unfortunately. And now with the criminal cases in New York, unfortunately, that woman with the church where she was mugged, everything said, listen, this is just a reflection of our society. That kid, he's not a kid. He's 16 years old. He's a career criminal at 16. He's going to be charged as a minor. You have to realize that. He's going to be out in jail. It was sooner or later, whether it's the no bail thing. Now, back in 2019, they were bringing up the no bail thing in the state legislature of New York. And I was calling all the talk radio shows, and they would hang up on me. So, Rita, go Buchanan, go.
anyway, as an ode to Pat Buchanan, who, by the way, I did love Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan's a great guy. And I got to know him quite well when I was in Washington. Anyway, so now we move on to our Support Our Heroes segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment with a very powerful story coming from Albany, New York, where Assemblyman Phil Palmisano, forgive me, welcomed Yates County Vietnam veteran P. Earl Gleason to the New York State Capitol for a special recognition ceremony recently, where he thanked and honored our Vietnam veterans and also where he passed a resolution proclaiming March 29th as Vietnam Veterans Day. The assemblyman said, I have known and worked with Oral for 30 years. It's an honor and privilege to welcome him along with other Vietnam veterans. Just to give you a little background about Veteran Earl, he was drafted in January 1968, where he served in the U.S. Army American Division, also known as the 23rd Infantry Division. Earl served in Vietnam from September 1968 until September 1969 as a combat infantry mortarman. And the assemblyman said Earl's life has epitomized what service is all about. He did not end service just in Vietnam. It really began there. And in fact, Earl served as director of the Yates County Veterans Service Agency for 20 years, where he provided critical assistance, guidance, and support to veterans who needed it. So bravo for him for his incredible service in Vietnam and obviously everything he has done afterwards. And of course, to our great Vietnam veterans, you know how much we love you here on The Rita Cosby Show. And all we can say is welcome home. We love you and we appreciate you. And everybody, this Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment encapsulates everything that I believe is the best of the best among us, our great veterans and their families. Help America to never, ever forget. Just donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Simply go to T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
Just a small town girl. I'm trying to remember what the second verse is, but I know it's a small town. There it is.
Girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere.
So don't stop believing, you guys. Don't stop believing. The world looks like it's falling apart in so many ways, but don't stop believing. There always has to be a glimmer of hope somewhere. I'm always a glasses half full person. And boy, we need a little bit of humor. I'm telling you, it has been a crazy, crazy week. Of course, we're waiting to see what is going to happen, sadly, with Israel. Again, everything on high alert as Iran, more and more indications that Iran is preparing for something. And of course, in the meantime, President Trump is preparing for a criminal trial on Monday. So the next few days and the next few weeks are going to be wild. So put on your seatbelt, everybody, and buckle up. Let's go to Stan, line four. Stan, go ahead, my friend.
Not likely. I'll talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.
Oh, I know why. Because Stan, I got it. Stan wants to talk more time. Stan doesn't want to just have a minute to talk. So let's go to Mimi. Go ahead, Mimi.
Bruce Blakesman is preparing retired police officers, firemen, people who are off duty if they have an overwhelming onslaught. And I remember in the 1950s, they had bomb shelters. They prepared the population for war with Russia. And they tried to protect Americans. They gave our parents dog tags. And I think Bruce Blakeman is doing the same. And for Trump.
Yeah. By the way, like you said, Bruce is trying to deputize people in Nassau County, saying if something happens there, that he wants to be able to call civilians in so they can be kind of like their own John Wayne. And you know what's happened, Mimi? The ACLU, a lot of people are getting on their case saying, oh, no. Listen, if they're qualified and they know what they're doing, I like people helping.